think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
CPAC, the person in charge is Matt Schlapp, and good morning to you, Matt. Thank you for coming by to talk to us this morning.
Well, thanks for being at CPAC, and thanks for having me on the show again.
We had a great question earlier, and I don't know. How often do presidents come to speak at CPAC?
I worked for President George W. Bush. We never got him there for the time I was there. He did come his last year, his eighth year in office. But the last time a president came in his very first year in office was Ronald Reagan in 1981. Think about it. Most of the people at CPAC weren't alive.
That's right.
The last time a president did what Donald Trump was doing.
It's too early in the morning to make me feel really old.
Sorry about that.
So, I mean, and that's the amazing thing. When I look at this lineup, you're going to have the vice president. You're going to have the president tomorrow speaking about 10:20. And by the way, you wanted to make a point about that. If you're coming out to hear President Trump speak at CPAC, you need to come early.
Let me tell you, that's for the vice president tonight at 7:30 for the president. We're going to have some members from the cabinet. We're going to have Betsy DeVos. We're going to have the attorney, EPA administrator. So I would just say for those people, make sure you come early. We're working really well with the Secret Service. By the way, the Secret Service reports to a new president, and they're going to do a really good job. But just make sure you leave yourself plenty of time to get through those mags.
It will take a little time to get through the security, and that's always the way it is, I guess, when you have a president or vice president. Well, what is the theme this year, Matt? What do you hope to, at the end of CPAC, what do you hope will happen?
You know, we picked our theme, We the People, Reclaiming the American Dream, before we knew who the president was going to be, because we thought that the foundations of the country were really at stake, that there was significant damage done by the last 8 years, and we got to get back to foundational principles. Well, now we have a new president, a conservative majority in the House, at least a Republican majority in the Senate, and we got a real chance to make a difference. I think this CPAC is more practical. It's not about what we would do if. It's what we're going to do now that we have this cloak of responsibility.
It's the old thing, now that you got it, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
And conservatives, you know, what a PGO works, it's something along the lines of conservatives really hate government, and every once in a while we put them in charge, and we are reminded how much we hate government. We're sometimes better at an opposition party than being in power, but this time we better get it right because there's too much at stake.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the air, Brian, about Republicans are just not good at seizing the message or controlling the message, and they get in their own way a lot, and I've said this for a long time. Republicans seize defeat from the jaws of victory
on a lot of times,
and it's very, really frustrating. How do you see it going differently this time, if at all?
Well, I think in the era of Trump, and we can't deny that he's changing so many things, that I think there's almost no more sacred cows. We're allowed to talk about things in a very real way that in the past would have been seen as politically incorrect. And I think that's a very positive thing. Now, that leads to a lot of charges of people being intolerant and hateful and all that, and we'll have to put up with that. But I like the fact that we're actually talking about the real issues. Look, the left and the right have to engage each other on their differences. And by the way, conservatives have differences, and they need to engage it. And you know what our philosophy is? We're going to put it on the stage. We're not going to hide our attendees or keep our attendees away from those controversies. They want to see it and hear it and do it in a constructive way so we can find solutions.
Yeah. It's been an interesting time to be a conservative. And when the Democrats are out of power as they are right now, it seems like the only thing they can do is try to obstruct, and they've done that sometimes by going to town hall meetings and creating chaos. And you've seen this, no doubt, and you've noted it. And I would imagine, as the person in charge of CPAC, you're thinking, "Oh my gosh, what
don't
happened?
Say it. Well, don't
it,
say
well, it. It could happen here.
Sure.
Or, I mean, what are your plans if something like that were to happen?"
Well, I've hired some guys I don't want to talk about. No, I'm just kidding. But the we do. I have a lot of retired cops who keep walking up to me giving me suggestions. We have a lot of security here that wouldn't surprise people with the guests who are coming.
Oh, yeah.
I would just say, we live in America. Everyone has certain rights, but there will be decorum, and everyone will be safe, and we take that seriously.
Safe is not the issue. It's the disruption.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much you can do if it happens. You just got to deal with it as it comes, right?
I don't know. I'm an old political campaign guy. we had our way of getting people who protested at events out of the hall. I think we'll keep order, and our folks. Our folks are ready to fight. They're pretty tough, too.
They might
want to be careful.
Let me know, because I know a guy.
Okay, it's a deal.
I'm good.
She's from New Jersey. She really does know a guy.
I know a couple guys. I want to talk about what goes into the planning of this. This thing is massive.
It is massive.
You will start planning for this, I guess, on Monday for next
year. That's right.
Because this is just so – it's really impressive. The speakers you have here.
Right.
And like you said, security and making sure everything runs and getting people through – getting their badges and all that. It really is a fine-tuned machine, and it has to be a fine-tuned machine. What goes into this planning?
Been doing it for 44 years. A lot of great people before me have done it. Karen Walters is our CPAC director. She's from Minnesota, and she's like that level Midwestern approach. And you got to do that, and you got to be organized. And look, we're dealing with a lot of people who want to see things done in a certain way. So you're dealing with a lot of big personalities as you put this all together.
That's right.
But the most important thing is this. It's really not about the people on the stage. It's about the people in the seats.
Yeah,
how we do CPAC. What do they need to know, and what makes it better for them?
Yeah.
Well, just today, Kellyanne Conway, Governor Scott Walker, Governor Matt Bevin, Senator Ted Cruz, Dana Lash, Betsy DeVos,
Sheriff David Clark.
Yeah, there you go. Judge Jeanine Pirro and Vice President Mike Pence, to wrap it all up in a big bow. That's just today.
And you forgot Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon coming on the stage together to talk about this idea that apparently they're at each other's throats all the time.
Yep.
I think they're going to give a different message.
That'll
will there be popcorn and beer during that? Because I'm going to sit there with going, oh, this is awesome.
All right, Matt, we have more questions for you. Hang on just a moment. We're talking to the man in charge of the whole shebang. Isn't it nice to be in charge of a shebang?
I'm going to go with there's a lot of responsibility that comes along with this one.
Yeah, Matt Schlapp is with us. And we talked about how today, governors are going to be here, Ted Cruz. You're going to have Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. And then going to wrap it up on a big bow at 7:20 tonight with the Vice President, Mike Pence. And that's not even talking about tomorrow. You've got Donald Trump coming in to address CPAC at 10:20. Katie Pavlich, Sebastian Gorka, John Bolton, Carly Fiorina, and Michael Reagan at 7:30. I mean, that's a big lineup.
And Nigel Farage, too, which is another one that I'm really excited
Think about to see. Michael Reagan. He's going to be the keynote speaker. Was always the keynote speaker, by the way, at the Reagan dinner. So he's coming to the dinner named after his father, and he's going to talk to us at this interesting political moment about his father, his relationship with his father, and what his father meant to the country.
I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the Milo thing has been a bit of a controversy for you. What was going on behind the scenes there with all of that?
Well, basically every year when it comes to CPAC, you have this question. There's sometimes pressure campaigns about inviting somebody who hasn't been invited, and sometimes there's controversy about inviting someone who had. I will just tell you, I'm a sucker for somebody coming to meet with you and looking at you eye to eye and saying what they want to do. And that's what Milo did. He came and visited with me in my office and with the rest of the team. And he said, look, I know I'm outlandish, but I think there's a real message here about what's happening on college campuses. And you don't have to agree with everything, what everybody wants to say in their First Amendment right to speak, but we got to stop shutting it down. And I should not be shut down like what happened to Berkeley. And so that was the narrow topic on which he was going to talk. And we also thought that it was important that he answered these tough questions about these outlandish statements that he's made and really show people who he really is. Unfortunately, the controversial got into these inappropriate comments on the criminal, and we thought that was just beyond the pale. That being said, people think conservatives are closed-minded and narrow and don't want to hear things, and that is not what the CPAC audience wants. They want to get an appropriate approximation of what's happening on the TV, what they're reading about, what's happening in the culture. They want to see it on the stage. They want it done in a responsible way, but they want to see it on the stage.
That's
so
very true.
Conservatives, people have a misconception of them sometimes.
How do you see conservatives challenging things like that with Milo, where you see free speech being shut down on college campuses.
We're going to talk about it. It really wasn't about one guy because the topic has to be discussed. It is a terrible. Yeah. It's un-American. Yeah. We got to take this on.
Yeah,
Matt, thank you so much for spending time with us here this morning. You're
Thanks,
a happy
Brian.
Warrior, one of my favorite people in town, and congratulations on another successful CPAC.
It means a lot to us that you guys are here again,
it's
and
an
let
honor
us know if there's
you.
Anything we can do for you while you're here.
Well, you already got us coffee. That's all. That's enough right there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.